So the NBA season is officially like 60% over with, which is wild. It doesn't feel like it's nearly that much. But I feel like at this point of the year, we should look back at our takes from earlier in the season and talk about the things we're right about and the things we're wrong about.
Damn. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Donovan, I know this is going to be hard for you. You don't like to admit that you're wrong.
Listen, first of all, I'm not wrong a lot. So that's one. But the stuff that I'm right about, I'm extremely excited to like just take my victory lap right now. that's really much it.
I remember some of those things. I know where you're going with that, but I also remember some things you're wrong about. So we'll get into all that.
Okay.
If you guys are watching on YouTube, do us a favor, drop a like and subscribe. If you're on Spotify, do us a favor and leave 5 stars, leave a review, help us grow on those platforms. On top of all that, we have something else we want to announce for you guys. We're finally doing it. We've been meaning to do it for weeks, but we're finally going to do a TD3 Discord for y'all to join, talk to us, talk to each other. We can talk about our underdog fantasy stuff. We can talk about what's going on in the NBA that night, and in general, just vibe with each other.
Yeah, exactly. Trust me. Believe me. I'll be up there random nights debating with y'all, talking about y'all, whatever's going on in the NBA, bro. And we'll just be vibing. Thank y'all for 100K soon.
Yeah, almost there. I think we're like five days away. By the time this comes out, we'll be super close to 100K subscribers.
Yeah. Throwing a party at Isaac's house.
Fly you in. That's funny. Let's get into it. Donovan, what is the first thing you were right about?
Okay. So I've been saying it all year. And I know that I've been sounding like a hater, but this is truly just how I felt about this team. But I felt this way about the team coming into the year, and I've been sticking to this take because I wanted to be right, and it's kind of coming into fruition. But I was 100% right when I said that the Hawks were going to be mid and that they might not even make the playoffs. I said that they were going to be a play-in team and that they might lose 2 games in the play-in and not make the playoffs. And that's been
You said they will. You said they will not make the playoffs.
That is also true. But that has been my entire thing about the Hawks this year. And if you look at
them, I'm glad we're starting with this.
Yeah. And if you look at them right now, they're 8th in the East. They've lost 2 games in a row at the time of this recording. They're a game under 500. And Trae Young has taken a step back. The fit between him and DeJounte Murray in the backcourt just hasn't been as like seamless offensively as you would like it to be. Like Atlanta thought that they were going to get something revolutionary. They were like, "Oh, we have this." They're like, "We have this great shooter, and now we have this great defender who's really long and he can handle the ball as well. We're just going to kill people with our backcourt," and it just hasn't happened. They're really, really mid. I'm happy that they're mid as a Knicks fan.
You're happy that they're mid.
I am. As a
you would still kick your ass at the end. As a Knicks fan,
first off, Mo, shut up. The Knicks are ahead of the Hawks. let's get that out the way right now. But the Hawks, they're the definition of mid. They're a game under 500 at the 8 seed, and right now, I'm right about that, and I really don't think that they're going to go on some crazy win streak to end the season. So I'm checking that one off as a win for the entire season.
Listen, that would have been on my list as well because I agreed with you. I didn't go as far as to say they won't make the playoffs, but I was like, they're 6 to 8 seed at best. They're going to be mediocre. They said, we have a really good small point guard. How do you compliment that? Big point guard. And it just never made sense to me. So I'm with you. Mo, why don't you talk about this?
Naturally, I was wrong. This is the biggest thing that I was wrong about. I said they're going to be like a top 4 seed. I never said top 3. I was never that outlandish, but I said top 4, 5 seed. They'd be battling in that spot with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and Cavaliers are doing their fucking thing, but the Hawks haven't held up to their end of that conversation. So, Isaac, you were right about both of you guys are right about what you said when it comes to the Hawks and why they would fail, but when it comes to like specific niche things that the Atlanta Hawks have going on, which no one knows what's going on with their organization from top down. They're fucked up. They're screwed up. And when it comes to on the court things, it's our star point guard who's just having his basketball philosophy and his basketball mind just might be like getting exposed. It seems like he's not playing winning basketball this season. And something else that I want to say that you're wrong about, Isaac, is that this man, DeJounte Murray, he's holding up to his end. He's shooting the best. He's having the best shooting year of his career. He's averaging the most points per game that he's ever had in his career. He's doing his fucking
thing. Let's talk about this.
But there's just something specifically about his game that the Hawks completely missed on that's pretty vital in terms of just like how you would imagine a Trae Young, like peak Trae Young offense being ran.
I will tell you DeJounte Murray
don't go in the fucking paint.
Can I tell you something, Mo? Can I tell you what the Hawks missed?
He's not a finisher. What'd you say? Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Here's what the Hawks missed out on. They were box score watching when they saw DeJounte Murray. That's what they were doing. They looked at the box score.
Plays fantasy basketball.
They saw a whole bunch of really good numbers, and they said he has to be amazing at basketball. They didn't take into account fit at all. And it's like, if DeJounte Murray didn't need the ball in his hands, if he was just a good defender and a good shooter, that would be the perfect person to put next to Trae Young, right? To get another shooter, to have another person in the backcourt who can overcome his deficiencies on defense. But for DeJounte to be successful, he has to be successful in the same way that Trae Young has to be successful. And so there's just not enough ball to go around. And so
You mentioned that DeJounte is having his best shooting season, that it's not his fault, he's doing his end of the bargain. That was never in question. I don't think anybody thought DeJounte was going to come in and stink it up, that he couldn't exist next to Trae. The problem is, like Donovan said, fit, but not even just that, like, they can't play with each other. It's that they don't elevate each other at all and don't elevate those around them when they don't have the ball. So, sure, you can plug in DeJounte Murray on a Trae Young play where Trae Young is doing his high pick and roll thing, playing normal Trae Young basketball. But for what they invested into him asset-wise, you'd ideally want somebody who makes people around him better when he doesn't have the ball.
DeJounte, and there's fundamental things that Trae can do to make someone like DeJounte, or not even DeJounte, but Clint Capella, John Collins, and DeAndre Hunter better, is that simply fucking move around on offense. Why, when I watch TV, you're out of my goddamn screen? It's fucking 4-on-5 right now, and you're out in the Harden corner syndrome. Chilling damn near at the half point line. Like, what the fuck is going on at this point, you know? It's little things like that, and there's nothing that makes the situation better when we have a disgusting head coach who's never done anything in his career other than make the Eastern Conference Finals, thanks to the fucking generational talent that I still think that Trae Young is. He's having a down season, but regardless of the fact, we all know where we stand on him at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And, like, him not playing AJ Griffin, him having Jalen Johnson come off the bench and be a fucking PJ Tucker-esque shooter. He's not a fucking shooter. He's great in transition. He's a good player.
This is the most fucks per minute I've ever heard.
It just makes it all screwed up, bro. It's all screwed, bro.
Yeah.
But I was wrong. Terribly wrong.
Duh. I think we were talking too much about the offense. The offense isn't even the biggest issue. Like, the 14th in offense, which
it is an issue,
isn't good enough. It's an issue. But we're glossing over the other side of the ball, which is just as important to talk about with this team.
Yeah.
Whenever they traded for DeJounte, everyone knew this was an elite offensive team that needed help on defense, right? They were 21st in defense last year, if I remember correctly, like 27th in rim defense, which I pointed out when the trade happened that rim defense is far more important than their guard defense. And said DeJounte Murray is not going to fix that. He's not out here blocking shots. He's not Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
And people like to argue with us in the comments and say that I was missing the point because the rim defense was so bad because they had nobody that can stay in front of perimeter players, and that by getting DeJounte, who can strap up with the number one option, that would help solve that, along with Onyeka making a leap, which hasn't really happened. But we're seeing there's a 20th defense again. That just, like we said, didn't fix the issue at all.
Yeah, exactly. And at that point, in my mind, it all falls back to the type of head coach that they thought they were getting, Nate McMillan. You're fucking supposed to be a defensive-minded coach. That's what you're known for.
He's so mad at Nate McMillan.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if this is what you're known for, then fucking do it. You can't even do what you're good at, bro. So at this point, why are you there? Like, why are you there? If you look at our roster, we don't necessarily have, like, a great defensive roster, but for our starting lineup and what we put around Trae Young, John Collins, who's a much improved defender, DeAndre Hunter, he's known as a good one-on-one defender and shit like that. And Clint Capella, he's had a reputation, but I think he's hanging by the threads of his reputation, considering like his health and also inconsistencies around that end of the floor. Like, there's a whole lot of question marks.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of question marks because the Hawks overall got tricked by Ben Simmons. If Ben Simmons goes up, if Ben Simmons goes up for that dunk and the Sixers end up winning that series, and the Hawks, if they bounce out in the second round rather than going to the Eastern Conference Finals and thinking that they're a piece away from making that kind of run again, from being a Finals contender, being a player in the Eastern Conference for like years to come, then I don't think that they make a move with the draft capital that they did for DeJounte Murray. Like, this is still very much a building. They're not a rebuilding team, but they are a building team, and there's a lot of steps.
Like retooling.
Yeah, there's a lot of steps that they needed to do.
I don't think they're a rebuilding team. I think they think they should win it all.
Exactly. They think that. Yeah. They are clearly not built for that. And so, like with Mo doesn't like Nate McMillan. I'm also of the opinion McMillan should go. I think this is because now this is 2 years where they haven't
been able to. Somebody else should go too, though.
He should. Not just Nate. A lot of people should go.
We got to shake some shit up. Not just Nate McMillan. It's not just his fault.
They need to make a major move, but they just traded away all of the draft capital for the next few years for DeJounte. So,
damn. Yeah, which is why John Collins is always in the trade block, because that's the only way they can improve.
For years to come. At least one more.
I'm looking at their numbers real quick. So the biggest glaring flaw I see in their defense is their rim frequency is insanely high. 37% of the shots they give up is at the rim. It's 28th in the NBA.
Bro.
And what that sounds like is that they still don't have good perimeter defenders that stop people from getting to the rim. DeJounte is not prime Kawhi. I don't know what people expected. He's not going to come in and plug all these holes.
What DeJounte is great at is fucking deflecting with them big-ass long alien arms that he has. He's great. He's a great disruptor. And overall, I would say, like, defensively, it's been up and down for him this season. It's not what we expected as Hawks fans, or I expected as a Hawk fan. And when it comes to just, like, having everyone on the same page and having a fucking plan, because right now it looks like Nate's just like, all right, y'all boys ball out and like let me know when you need a timeout. Type of basketball that it looks like. I can't tell you what the fuck our scheme is on defensively whatsoever. I can't tell you what we like to do or don't like to do, bro.
Neither can I, honestly.
That's a great reference.
I'm pretty good at understanding teams' X's and O's philosophies. I don't know what type of defense they run, honestly. Like, maybe it's just me not watching the Hawks. I could not tell you what their plan is and what the flaw is. I just feel like I'm watching a very regular team that doesn't do anything X's nose wise that should inspire you.
And without Trae Young, we let the Portland Trailblazers, who are a great team with offensive firepower. I'm not sure where they rank in the NBA in terms of,
we're going to talk about the Blazers. But hold on to that.
I don't know where they rank, but without Trae Young, you would assume that the Hawks, okay, we only got Trae, we don't lock down, and they're not going to score over, like, 110 points. They fucking dropped, like, 130 on us, bro. What the fuck?
Yeah, that's tough.
What am I watching? So, at that point, you can't even fucking
Someone in the comments, count how many fucks Mo has said during this Hawks
segment. Oh, my goodness.
It's got to be at least 30. Please. He's been against demonetized.
Yeah. why didn't any of y'all check me until now?
I made a joke about it earlier.
it's so funny, because anytime you talk about the Hawks, that ends up being like our longest segment of the episode.
Yeah,
Mo just gets going. He gets into.
I'm with that. Keep going. Cook. I'm gonna let you cook. Rant about this team.
No, I'm
glad we talked about them first.
The Hawks are burnt. There's nothing to cook right now. All right.
Okay. All right. I want to take a break to tell y'all about our partner, Underdog Fantasy. If you don't already know, Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest way to play fantasy sports online and earn money while you watch your favorite players. If you use promo code TD3, they'll double your first deposit up to $100. Personally, I like to play their Pick'em game mode, which is incredibly simple. You look at a list of stats and you pick whether a player is going to go higher or lower in the projections. If you get them all right, you can win up to 20 times your money every single night. Now, we're an NBA show, so naturally I do a lot of NBA entries. But it's not just NBA. You can do it with football, MMA, NASCAR, baseball, any sport you want. It's a super fun way to spice up watching the NBA every night and, you know, make those random regular season games more interesting for you. And I post my entries almost every single night on our Instagram story. So if you want to play along with us, you can follow us there and see if you can win money with me or win money picking against me. So once again, use promo code TD3 and they'll double your first deposit up to $100. And now let's get you back to the show. Let's talk about another team. Let's talk about a team that I was right about.
Okay.
The Brooklyn Nets are good. When we came into the season, I think Donovan was high on them. I was high on them. I don't know where you were, Mo. I think you're somewhere between.
High.
Okay, you were high too. I think I predicted they'd be the third seed. And we had a video where he talked about which teams are most likely to make the finals. And I was like, listen, the Nets have a very low floor if this Kyrie shit explodes, if Kevin Durant requests a trade. But if things work out well, you see an elite team there. And, you know, after the first month of the season, we were like, oh, fuck, we're wrong as shit. They're horrible.
Both things happened this year.
Yep.
They imploded, and then they came back together, and now they're actually a good team. And it's the weirdest thing I've ever seen watching basketball. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Got to be the most remarkable in-season turnaround that we've seen in recent years. They've kind of fallen off a little bit now because KD got hurt, but you can't really blame him for that. When KD was healthy and they were cooking under Jock Vaughn after they fired Steve Nash, you saw exactly what we predicted, and I'm going to take the dub on that. When they're healthy, this team is legitimately great.
You don't see exactly what you predicted, all right? You didn't predict Nick Claxton to be fucking damn near deep, playing defensive player of the year type basketball.
Listen,
I didn't expect fucking Ben Simmons to have the same talent level as Omer Asik, all right?
Like, this is ridiculous right now. Irrelevant. They're a good team. That's all I said. I said they'd be a third seed. I think they're a third seed right now. So I'm taking it.
It's in a weird, twisted way where they found success. And it's what you envisioned at all, but it's still beautiful.
So Claxton has basically just been the defensive stopper that I thought Ben could be if he got back into prime Ben. So listen, the avenue for which we got there was
kind of a wash.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I was right. I mean, I'm just gonna say
that. He's going to take that.
But yeah, no, but let's talk, like, I think we talked at length about them being a disaster early in the year.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about them since they turned it around. But just the way that they're able to deploy these lineups that has tons of shooting and tons of wing versatility with Yuta Watanabe, TJ Warren, obviously Kevin Durant, Royce O'Neal. It's just such a well-oiled machine on offense, such a modern basketball team with the size that's so versatile. It's been everything we could hope for.
Exactly. And when they go ahead, this is a wild prediction, but when they go ahead and either trade for Seth Curry or Joe Harris in return for Naz Reid and get an actual offensive center who's a threat, bro, it's gonna be different. It's gonna be nasty.
Interesting.
They have pieces, and they're not done moving Naz pieces around. So
I can see.
Yeah, Naz Reid is fucking nice.
I'm a big Naz Reid guy. If Naz Reid gets a starting spot on a rebuilding team, if you put him on like the Pistons or whatever, they don't need him anymore. They drafted Durin. But if he gets a spot where he plays 30 minutes a game, he could be like sub all-star, really good level player. Like, he's so underrated.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's interesting. Why does everybody want to trade Joe Harris? I think Joe Harris is good. Every Nets fan wants him out of there. Is it just like an avenue to get better thing?
I guess simply because he's limit out of their both two sharpshooters, he's the most limited in my mind.
Yeah.
Over Seth Curry?
They're both ass on defense.
No, he's not. He's a fine defender. He's better defender than Seth Curry.
I wouldn't say fine defender. He's bigger, but
he was good defender last year. There. Since he came back from injury, I feel like he's probably been a little slower. But
he's not a bad defender. That's probably what it is. He had a lot of like ups and downs in his recovery from that injury. True. And so I bet you a lot of Nets fans are probably just over it. And they're just like, listen, get healthy so that we can send you anywhere else to actually get somebody who can come in
get John
and
Collins for you.
And play consistently. Oh my God. No, facts.
That'd be kind of cool. I mean,
who says no?
Me.
Why?
I don't want him on my team. I got AJ Griffin. I'm good.
Listen, neither here nor there, but I think the Hawks should be interested in a sharpshooter. The Hawks should want a shooter. I'll say that.
We just need to play our fucking rookie. That's all we need to do. Right? God.
That's funny. Anyways, was anybody here? So none of us were down on the Nets, right? So I guess
now that I think about it, what I should have done is watch our predictions podcast we could be on the money with these type of things.
I remember,
but I believe now that I think about it, I was lower on the Nets, and I think I had them around the 7th.
You did.
Or 6th seed or something.
I want to say you had the Hawks right above them.
I saw the vision with the Nets.
Yeah.
I saw like, I think I said best case scenario, they would end up as like the 2 seed. And then worst case scenario, they would miss the playoffs. So, I mean.
Facts.
They did 100%. Both. I don't think we've ever, even Boston's turnaround last year from being mid to being one of, you know, the best teams to being one of the best teams in the league. We've never seen anybody make this turnaround. It's the same reason why I have Jock Vaughn as my coach of the year, is just because he came in and turned everything around. And they actually look like a competent basketball team. And if there's any reason for anybody to be like, you know what, we should stop being so mean to Kevin Durant on Twitter, it's because he tried to get Steve Nash out of it. He tried to warn us all summer long, and he tried to tell us Steve Nash can't coach basketball. He doesn't know what he's doing, and we saw that for the first half of the season.
He has no footwork. He can't commit a move to memory.
Exactly. And so, listen, shout out Jock Vaughn. Shout out the Nets, especially because they're not just doing it on offense. It's because Claxton's holding them down on defense.
Shout out Nick Claxton, man.
Right? And they're actually doing it on both ends of the floor. And they're right now, I'm looking at the numbers. They're 10th in defensive rating on the season.
Like, that's crazy with the personnel they have.
That's elite. Really, really freaking good. So shout out Brooklyn.
And without Ben Simmons being good at basketball, like at all. Yeah. Jesus.
God, man.
Shout out Brooklyn, man. What is one thing you're right about?
One thing I'll write about are the Sacramento Kings. I remember one thing that I hold to my heart is like, yo, I was typing up the Kings like crazy. I was the one true believer before they even started the whole Beam Town team or whatever the fuck they did, bro.
Just Beam Team.
Yeah, for you. Yeah, it's because you're obsessed with De'Aaron Fox. So you're speaking to existence.
I'm not obsessed with De'Aaron Fox. I just like the Sacramento Kings.
You're De'Aaron Fox munch. That's crazy.
Relax. Relax. All right. Before this tomfoolery came out of your mouth, I was talking about what gravitates me towards the Sacramento Kings is their fucking fan base and how deep they are, and in regards of how trash they are, bro, they show up every game, and they've always had one of the strongest supporting base in my mind, yeah, for absolutely no reason,
true.
Bro.
That's true.
And with the pieces that they've put together, the Malik Monks of the world, the Kevin Herders, I knew Keegan Murray's going to be nice, and I thought he was going to fit perfectly alongside DeMontis Sabonis, and they got Terrence Davis and Damian. They're just a... I won't say a deep team, but they got bodies on that team.
They're a solidly deep team.
And with I forgot their head coach's name. Came from the Warriors.
Mike Brown.
I feel like an idiot. Yeah, with Mike Brown coming in fresh off the Warriors system and having another chance of being a head coach, I'm like, something could definitely be brewing. They are going to be cooking this season. Not defensively, because I don't really have any bodies for that, but offensively, goddamn, they're gas. And I don't know what they are offensively, but
I'll tell you what they are.
They've for sure been top 10.
They are number one, technically two, but they're 0.2 behind the Nuggets. They're tied for one, essentially. And those two teams are, like, by far number one. They're a full point above 3, 4, 5, which somehow the Utah Jazz has the third best offensive rating in the NBA right now. What the fuck? When did that happen?
Who let that happen?
I don't know, but shout out Larry Markkinen. But anyways, the Kings have been teetering with first and second offense all year. Earlier in the season, I was like, all right, it's cute. We'll see what happens. They're just legitimately extremely good. DeMontis Sabonis is an all-star. De'Aaron Fox is on the cusp. If there's enough alternates, he might make it. Kevin Herter is that fucking guy. He is one of the best shooters in the NBA and a legitimately talented offensive player beyond just the shooting.
Facts.
Listen, as someone who drafted Keegan Murray in fantasy and promptly dropped him because he hasn't been doing anything, I'm a little bit disappointed by him because we all thought he'd come in and fuck shit up right away. But he's contributing to a solid team. We can't be mad at it.
Yeah.
They're just a good team.
Listen, I'll take the L on this one because I thought, and this would be my first one, but I thought that the Kings were going to be trash. And we were talking about them early on in the season. I thought they were going to miss the playoffs. I thought they were going to be closer to like the 13th seed potentially.
13, right? Yeah, you were wilding.
I was very, very low on the Kings. I didn't have a lot of faith in Mike Brown coming over on his previous stints. I didn't think that the defense would be there, which technically it hasn't really been there this year, but they've just been able to be incredibly efficient on offense. Yeah. So, but I was wrong about them. I admit it now. I admitted it a couple weeks ago. I am officially being team. I'm rooting
man,
for Sacramento.
Man, this is the craziest switch up in history.
Nah, it really is. I'm rooting for Sacramento. Like, I want good things to happen for the Kings.
Yeah.
I have both De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis as all-stars this year. Like, the third seed.
I mean, take them with a grain of salt because you know how volatile that is. But yeah, they're in the mix, which is amazing.
60%, and again, by the time the All-Star game comes, which is extremely late, but that's crazy. That's crazy that they're not even like in play-in talk. They're in top six.
Yeah,
they're in home court advantage talk right now.
You know what's
crazy?
They have one more win than the 9 seed. Like, we gotta take the seeding right now with a grain of salt because the West is so insanely tight. But again, you got to give them their credit, right?
Yeah, bro. Yeah. If you were to tell anyone before the season started, like, yo, the Sacramento Kings are going to be the top 3 seed in the Western Conference, book that shit. You would have looked at them and handed them like, yo, you would have handed them like a fucking drug house ticket to call that number and check yourself in because something is not right with you, bro. That's crazy as hell. You'd have thought the NBA, something disastrous had to happen and half the teams just fucking ran to diabolical injuries, but no, they're just like that. Simply,
they're good. Side note: the Knicks and Lakers are currently battling. I'm watching my other screen while you guys are talking. It's a close ass game.
Really,
4 minutes left. Really? Lakers are up by 2.
Is LeBron James going to break the record? He has 117.
Yeah, he's going to score 118 points tonight. That was such a funny tweet. For y'all don't know, Legion Hoops tweeted: LeBron is 117 points away from breaking the record. Will he hit it tonight? And it went viral because they baited everybody into being mad. It was so funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Kings are them. I think my biggest takeaway is, one, it's time to talk about Kevin Herter as one of the best role players in the NBA. He's like truly an incredibly impactful offensive player. He does way more than just shooting, like I said. And secondly, seeing DeMontis Sabonis be freed from playing with another center and really be able to eat and be this mini Jokic hub of an offense, incredible. There was a point like a couple weeks ago where he had 10 assists in 3 straight games. Like, this guy's a legitimately extremely good passer. And even though he has his defensive deficiencies, the things he can do on offense make him so much better of a player than I ever thought he would be.
Facts.
He needs all the flowers.
Facts. Yeah, he has so much more room to breathe. And now that he doesn't have another big body in the fucking paint, like, the vision is just otherworldly now. And honestly, when we talk about the best passes in the NBA, I don't know why. I almost never hear DeMontis Sabonis mention it.
Okay.
One of the relax.
Because he's not like
one of the better passes.
Because he's not one of the best passes in the NBA.
One of the better passes.
Oh, for Biggs, absolutely. Biggs, absolutely. And he is a legitimately good playmaker. I see your point. But yeah, he's incredibly impactful as a playmaker. I love that he's going to be an all-star again.
Yeah, deserves it, bro.
Shout out to DeMontis.
We all talked about one thing we were right about. Mm-hmm. What's one thing you were wrong about, Donovan?
Okay, on top of the Kings being trash, I thought that the Miami Heat were going to be closer to the top of the Eastern Conference rather than the bottom. And this is they are also mid in terms of like
on the rise lately.
They are. But the Heat, I thought, were going to be able to have just enough offense to put them in the top four, and I was giving them that respect just because it seems like we look up every single year and Miami's just good. And we get to this point in the season, and after everybody's been hurt and they start bringing in guys from the G League, we just look up and we're like, oh snap, like Miami's the one seed, Miami's the two seed, and they just figure it out. And I thought that was gonna happen this year. It hasn't. Nope. Defensively, they're just as good as they were last year in terms of like ranking among the league, the top five in defense right now. The offense, which was already a problem last year, has completely fallen off a cliff, right? So last year in points per possession, in points per possession, they were 11th in the league. This year they are 25th per cleaning the glass.
What a fall off.
They are trash on that end of the floor. And I know that Jimmy Butler's been in and out. I know that they've had a lot of injuries, but...
Yeah, that's what it is.
They just haven't been able to get that spark. I also thought that Kyle Lowry was going to have a really, really good year. And while he's been better in some cases...
He's old and he looks like shit. He's a shell of himself.
Listen, he's barely... He's clinging on to 40% from the field right now, bro. He is tough. Washed.
I'm trying to cap for Kyle Lowry because I really wanted that to work out. That's the old man that I'll defend. Him and Udonis Haslam. But they just haven't been good on offense, and it's just led to them falling in the standings. And so now they're going to be fighting for not being in the play-in. They're in the sixth seed right now. They're going to try to stay out of there. So, yeah, I thought Miami was going to be much better than what they were. Yeah. So I was wrong on that.
I'm with you in that I predicted they'd be a pretty high seed, but I didn't believe it. Facts. Every year I'm people call me in the comments a lot a Miami hater, because I guess I kind of am a little bit. I'm always, every time we talk about Jimmy Butler, I'm like, yeah, I think I have him a little lower than the rest of y'all. And just in general, I never have anything good to say about Miami. Every year I'm like, I just don't see it. They're average team, but like you said, we look up and they're the fucking one seed. So I was like, I'm not gonna be fooled wrong again. I'll put them as a three seed. They're gonna make it somehow. I didn't believe it. I was like, this team is mid. They don't have a power forward. I don't believe in Caleb Martin as your starting power forward. I was right, but I wasn't brave enough to say it, so I was wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like whenever, at least the where three were you of on us, this, Mo? I was right up there with y'all. I didn't like believing them 110%, but I was the main one in that conversation driving like, you have to respect this team because they were literally one game away from the NBA finals last year. And this team is slightly different because they're just different pieces, and there's just so many, I feel like there's so many more randoms now who I've never heard before in my life or seen before in my life that's on the roster who are getting quality minutes, which kind of throws me off, and it's just a part of the reason why they're just not that good anymore this season. But they're Miami. You have to respect them. And I feel like a lot of NBA fans just tend to gloss over them because they're not the flashiest team. They have, like, the same remedy and formula going on, waiting for Bam to go ahead, pick up ahead of steam. You know, and they...
Bam's been great,
unfortunately,
though.
Yeah, Bam's been shout elite. Out, shout fucking out Bam. Solidified all-star, bro.
Bam held the fort down when Jimmy Butler was hurt and did his thing. I think you talked about it last episode, or the episode before that. He's finally averaging 20 points per game, doing his thing. Shout out Bam. He's the one bright spot. And Jimmy's been good, but he's always, as always, Jimmy Butler just misses games all the time and no one talks about it.
Yeah, exactly. So Jimmy Butler's just irrelevant in the regular season, it feels like. And when it's a playoff, it's like, okay, now let's for real watch the Miami. No one's really watching them on the regular season, bro. At least I'm not.
You tell me you don't want to watch Haywood Highsmith basketball? That doesn't excite you? A healthy dose of Victor Oladipo for 710 minutes this season?
That's disgusting, man. That's
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
The thing is, though, we're saying all this, they're healthy now. Mm-hmm. And they're looking decent. They're back up to the 6th seed. And they were like 11 earlier in the year. So maybe we're going to see they're the 6th seed right now. And they're 4 wins behind the 3 seed. Maybe we'll look up and they'll be the 5 seed again. Maybe 4 seed.
They're like, definitely trotting along, bro.
I really can't write them off. Cavaliers sliding
a little bit. I see the Cavs sliding down just a little bit because of injuries and whatnot or whatever. And
of course Miami, you do. We'll talk about the Cavs in a little advantage.
Bit. Yeah, we can go ahead and talk about the Cavs a little bit. But the Miami Heat, they're doing
a thing. Let's talk about the Cavs now. It's my turn. One thing I was right about, the Cavs are fantastic. Early in the year, this is another thing I flamed in the comments for in the offseason. I said we're talking about grading teams as contenders. I gave the Cavs an A-. I was like, there is a ceiling here where they will be one of the very best teams in the East. Donovan Mitchell will come in, clicking on all cylinders, finally freed from the shackles of Rudy Gobert, and they will be off with the best small backcourt and the best big frontcourt. It'll combine to be beautiful basketball. That's largely been the case. They're technically the 5 seed right now, I think, but the top four are so bunched up that like they're in that stratosphere. Like they have the same amount of wins as the 76ers. It's like, I think we can call them a tier one East team.
No.
Okay, besides still the hater who was on the opposite end of the conversation.
You're right.
The Celtics are tier one by themselves. They're tier two. They're in there with the Sixers, the Nets, the Bucks.
No, they're not. They're not in there with the Bucks.
They are.
When healthy they are.
I'm not talking about them when they're missing.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Mo. When healthy, the Cavs are tier two. Like they're as good as anybody in the East when everybody's there.
See, this is where we're at because for background, because I know we have a lot of new viewers from when we said this original conversation. I said they'd be one of the best teams in the East. Actually, I think the verbiage I use is they'd be closer to the best teams in the East than they would a play-in team. Mo thought that they have potential, but potential for next year is the wording he used, that it would take some time to gel, and next year we see them be good. So obviously they're better than you expected. Why is that?
Yeah, so they're better than I expected because Donovan Mitchell was just simply him, and I feel like a lot of people just forget just how goddamn
100%
good and how great of a star player he is.
100%.
He's absolutely insane, bro. He is insane. But a part of the reason why I didn't think they were going to go ahead and like be as dominant. The way you were talking about, you were talking like they're going to be a 2-3 seed and just like, and there would be a gap and they would for sure be tier one with the Boston Celtics. Those are the vibes that I was getting from you.
Damn, they're the fifth seed right now.
Like
they have one less win than the 3 seed and two less wins than the 2 seed. It's so tough. You can't hold on to these numbers.
What I said was not wrong.
I will admit, it do be like that sometimes. Like that, like the one game.
I don't give a shit about the
one game. Listen, the one game difference, the two game difference, while it seems small, a lot of times that's the difference between great teams and just good teams. It's the difference between healthy teams and non-healthy teams.
That's the difference.
It's the small margins. I understand where Mo's coming from. I disagree, but I understand.
I just simply don't envision them in the same light as the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics because they're all solidified and they have pieces and they know what their pieces are going to do and they have no kinks nor holes. They're fluid as fuck. And that's what the Cleveland Cavaliers, they are the same thing, but they have a kink. They have a couple kinks.
You think the Bucks don't have kinks this year? You think the Bucks don't have issues?
Well, of course they have a few kinks, but at the end of the day, in a playoff series, you're taking the Bucks over the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't even have to ask you
maybe,
for
yeah, because I thought the Bucks would be a 2 seed and the Cavs would be a 3 seed, so I'm with you.
Yeah, exactly.
But again, that's not the point. The point: could you see a world where the Hawks, where the Cavs are in the Eastern Conference Finals? Would that shock you?
Would that shock me? I would say yes and no because it's like, like I'm not gonna say that they're
shocking at all.
I can't get behind that one.
My thing is like they're good, but they're not like runaway good, and there's not a humongous gap.
Nobody in the East is, besides unless you want to be on the Celtics side, nobody in the East is runaway good. That's the point. Is they're just as good as these teams. The Nets, their flaw. While Nick Claxton's been great, we'll see how the defense holds up in the playoffs. Kevin Durant's never healthy. Ben Simmons is scared of basketball. The 76ers have James Harden. The Bucks can't make shots this year. Everybody has a kink, and the Cavs have as much of a chance as anybody.
Hey, listen. My pick, though, Milwaukee, they've won 4 in a row. They're coming on.
They are.
They're doing some things.
I just simply think that they're going to have to go through it
like every squad in the history of the NBA. They're going to have to go through one playoff series that really tests their gangs and how real they are. And I think the next season is when I'm going to be like, them boys can win the finals. Not the Eastern Conference Finals, the finals. I'm going to hold off on that take that you had. and apply to them next year. Just not now. I want to see what Isaac Okoro is going to be about. What the fuck is Kyrie LeVert going to be about? Type shit like
okay,
that.
Or question, are they going to replace those dudes? Question for you, Mo. Let's say, yeah. Right, so everything plays out right now. Let's say the playoffs started today. Cleveland, they played the Nets in the first round. Are you taking the Cavs or the Nets in that series?
Is Kevin Durant healthy?
Healthy KD.
I would take a healthy Nets in like seven. It'll be tough. It's a toss-up. It's a damn near toss-up.
Okay. Let's say Cleveland advances past that. They play the one seed. They play Boston.
They're getting that ass bounced.
In what? In five games?
In nine, like six. Give them respect. Six.
Okay, I'm very confused on your point right now. Because either they take a team to seven games, like they either take Kevin Durant to seven games, or the best team that's a whole tier above them has to fight through six games to beat them. But like they're not that good.
The Nets are weird in the equation. If you were to tell me like the team like the Philadelphia 76ers, some of that just feels a little bit more for sure. James Harden's James Harden, I understand that, but like I trust them a little bit more in the playoffs than the Brooklyn Nets because they're just ups and downs. I don't fuck with the ups and downs. But in general, I feel like the team is there. There's just certain things that I need to see proven to prove to me that you're there. And it's not there yet.
I feel you. It's a lack of vibes in Cleveland.
Yeah, it. Exactly. I just need to prove it to me that you're there. On paper, you look. They have one of my favorite roster constructions in the NBA. Probably like easily one of my three favorites, bro. Fun as hell. And they're damn near indestructible in my mind.
Well, if they were indestructible, you wouldn't think they're tier three. So let's not go too far. But yeah, I got
That's
you.
Good.
It's not crazy. This is semantics. I think they're tier two. You think they're tier three. Who's to say what these tiers even mean? It's to each their own. Either way, the Cavs are really good. And part of my prediction was me saying also that Donovan Mitchell has weirdly become the most underrated player in the NBA because after the playoff meltdown, everyone was like, oh, he sucks. He can't play defense. He's a one-way player. People were talking about him like they're talking about Trae Young now.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck are y'all talking about? Donovan Mitchell is fantastic. The Jazz just had fatal flaws. So I'll add that into there, something I was right about. D-Mitch is absolutely him.
Yeah, take your W about that. I can't believe that some of the discourse that was talked about when it comes to Donovan Mitchell. You're right. You hit it on the money. They're giving him the Trae Young treatment currently right now. Just hilarious.
Yeah. Ooh, AD right. just 3 seconds left. Anthony Davis just got a charge driving to the rim. It's a tie game at 3 seconds left. They call the charge AD.
I hate the charge. We need to take that out of basketball.
Brunson drew a charge. Bro, the Lakers are going to lose.
We need to take the charge out of basketball. That is a terrible, terrible. It's not a basketball play.
They threw two bodies at him, and he got a charge.
It's so awful. Again.
Just you a run, random side
you
note.
Run, you know what? You run to the spot and you don't try to play any type of defense. You just try to stand there and get hit. Jump up. Let's actually be basketball players. Let's try to defend the shot. Charge is terrible. We need
if they challenge us, it's going to get reversed. Jalen was outside the restricted zone and he hadn't even stopped yet.
Side notes. One of the most disgusting things that I've ever seen in my entire life is someone in real life basketball pickup game tried to take a charge. What is wrong with you?
Nerds.
Took a charge?
Take a charge at 24? At LA Fitness? Nah. I can't do that.
Nah.
Who's respecting that?
With the wrong right set.
Mo, what's one thing you were right about?
Yeah, so one thing that I was right about was the Indiana Pacers. I felt like so this is me giving my flowers to Tyrese Haliburton. You know,
love it.
This is not a humongous one. I feel like this was kind of obvious. But giving Tyrese Haliburton all that spacing in my mind, like I felt, and knowing the type of player that he was and the type of player that he wasn't allowed to be when he was in Sacramento, I didn't think that he was going to be able to, you know. Fuck, I think I'm fucking up my words. Tyrese Haliburton with freedom and somewhat respectable shooters being around him, and also fucking Bennett and Mathurin coming out of fucking nowhere and being the flamethrower that he is.
Still doing it.
Is beautiful to see. And I was right about the Indiana Pacers.
Can we get a counter on the screen?
Oh my god.
Yeah, you're right. 100%. Watch my mouth. The Pacers were really good when Tyrese was healthy, because he's incredible, and Miles Turner, freed from Domantas Sabonis, was eating as well. They were a legitimately good team, and you definitely, if you called that, I don't remember what you thought said about them. If you were thinking they're going to be good, shout out to you, because they're fantastic.
Yep. I thought they were going to be straight. Not as good, but I knew that they were going to do something.
Once Tyrese got hurt, they fell off a cliff, so that should tell you his all-star candidacy right there.
Shout out to you. I for real thought they were going to be tanking for Wemby this year. I thought it was going to be Tyrese and Wembanyama next year.
Listen, I thought Buddy Hield and Miles Turner would be Lakers by now. So I wasn't even thinking about the Pacers as a competitive Palinka's entity.
Too scared for all that.
Yeah. I wasn't even thinking about them as a... They were a social construct. They were just a team that was there to supply the Russell Westbrook sweepstakes.
Facts.
Yeah, they've been good.
Just 2K deal.
Yeah, Tyrese is absolutely him.
Yeah, so...
I want to say something I was wrong about real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
I thought the Warriors were going to win the finals.
Oh, no.
I don't know what you thought I was going to say, but I thought the Warriors are going back-to-back. I thought they would be maybe the best team in the West again, be fantastic. The young guys would take a step, hopefully. We saw something from Kuminga last year. We thought he would see a little bit more. We saw Moses Moody light at the G League, be too good to play for that competition. So we thought maybe he'd be decent in the NBA now. He could be a rotation player. They don't play him. Thought James Wiseman would give them something. He's in the G League. Yeah. I think all of us underrated the loss of Gary Payton and Otto Porter, because like, how could we not? It's just Gary Payton and Otto Porter. But that team is not the same.
Yeah, but regardless, I think they would have been a little bit worse because neither of them played this season. Gary Payton just started playing recently.
Yeah.
But like the Warriors, they just won like two back-to-back road games for the first time this season, and we're like 50 games into the season, which is kind of crazy to say.
It's ridiculous.
But and also they have a little like an inch of breathing room now in the Western Conference. I think they're like a top five seed or something like that. You never know.
This year is so fast. They were tenth a day ago.
So right now the Warriors are fifth, but they are tied with the Suns in terms of games back of the one seed.
We need to ignore the standings for now. Yesterday the Timberwolves were the sixth seed, and I saw Timberwolves fans gloating about it at the validating the Rudy Gobert trade. By the way, the Lakers game just went to overtime. The Knicks missed a shot with the game on the line.
Okay.
But yeah, the Warriors aren't them.
Yeah. I had that down as well. I thought that the Warriors were going to be elite. They are not. They had that really weird stretch where they couldn't win anything on the road. But they listen.
Weird stretch. You mean the first 40 games of the year?
Exactly. They've won. They've won three in a row though. Steph Curry's back. So maybe they're only 2.5 games behind Sacramento for the three seed. Like they might be able to get up to three, and they might be able to do something in the playoffs. Like, and when I say do something, I mean a Western Conference Finals appearance. Like they might be able to play four finals appearance again. And I don't think I would be shocked. I'm ready for the Warriors Grizzlies playoff series though. That's coming this year, and we need that, and that's gonna be super fun. But yeah, they're not this juggernaut that's rolling through everybody.
Yeah, partially it's been because Steph Curry's been hurt, but even before then, they were looking garbage because when Curry was on the court, their starting five, really good, as always. But when Curry left the bench, zero playmaking, zero defense outside of Looney and Draymond. Jordan Poole was looking like a shell of what you'd want him to be. I think he's been better as of late. He's recovered a little bit, looking more like Jordan Poole. But still wasn't taking the star step that some people were thinking he was going to be because of his playoff performance.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like you said, the West is so close, and you don't ever want to see the Warriors veterans in the playoffs. So they have a puncher chance, I suppose. But yeah, I think
Andrew
we're all disappointed.
Andrew Wiggins is healthy, too, now.
That was a big part of it. They were missing him, which was underrated in the conversation.
Yeah, so maybe this is the time that we go ahead and see the turn for the Warriors. And now that they finally like got one of the biggest elephants in the room about their how they perform on the road out of the way, they won two in a row. Whippy, they're still fucking trash, but still, two in a row is better than 0-2 recently. So this could be the turning point.
Yeah, hopefully. Thanks. The next few weeks are going to be big for them. Yeah. Donovan, what is something you were wrong about?
That I was wrong about? Oh, I just said it. That the Warriors would be an elite.
Tell us another thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. My three things that I was wrong about were the Warriors being elite, the Kings being trash, and that Miami was closer to
we've hit your whole list.
Yeah.
Mo, what were you wrong about?
Oh, I was definitely wrong about the Boston Celtics. I think we covered it in one of our recent videos. I thought they were going to like be a 6th, 7th seed and just go through this weird ass slump because of all the
that's so wild. Why did you think that?
That organized, bro. Robert Williams is hurt. They have to go ahead and they're in one of the nastiest controversies in the NBA that we've seen in the last like 6, 7 years, and they bring on an assistant coach who not many of us knew about or knew too much about whatsoever.
Yeah, and nobody knew about Joe Mazzulla. We can say that.
Yeah, exactly. So they're just like, those are three major things that are going on within this organization. And then on top of that, there's extra like random ass drama that drags other people into it as well that doesn't need to be discussed. But because I heard these type of things, I don't know why I assumed that the Nets will be better or anything like that. But seeing how they just like took the mark that they left off of and excelled, in my mind, they're performing much better than they were last season, because individually Jalen Brown, Jason Tatum got better, Marcus Smart playing smarter basketball, and one of their biggest key additions that I gloated about, but yet I like still I underrated them like shit. Malcolm Brogdon, he's fucking fire. He's really good. Might be the sixth man of the year. It's him and Westbrook that people are arguing about right now.
Brogdon should win it. Russ is gonna win it, and it's gonna be a travesty because he's actively hurting his team, but we know he's gonna win it.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right. 100%. The Celtics have been a pleasant surprise. I guess I can mark that as something I was right about, because I think I had them as the one seed.
Yeah.
And definitely. I said Joe Mazzulla might win coach of the year because people are going to be surprised that they don't lose a step, even with amongst all the controversy. I didn't know shit about Joe Mazzulla. I'm not going to pretend. I was like, oh, I thought he would raise their offensive efficiency by 2 points because he'd implement more three-pointers per 2,100 possessions. I know all that. But because he was on Udoka's staff and part of that thing, I just assumed that all the learnings I took from the second half of last year would just continue, and they'd continue to do the same thing as a well-oiled machine. It's basically what we've seen, right? Joe's done some things differently. Like I said, they have a higher three-point attempts, and they didn't have Robert Williams, so he had to improvise with Al Horford.
Yeah.
But they're the Celtics still, you know?
And he also put his game plan on Quizlet as well. Who would have known that would have
happened? That was funny. That was good.
That was fucking hilarious, bro. I'm sure there's so many other coaches who do the exact same shit, but he just got exposed.
Yeah. Donovan, what were you on the Celtics for the year?
I thought they were going to be not as low as 7, but probably closer to like 4 or 5. I thought the controversy was going to get to them. I thought they were going to take a hit, and it was a combination of that and just how sustainable that turnaround was. Like, they became the best team in the league after January. Yeah. After January 1st, after January 2nd, I didn't know, you know, if that was just like an in-season thing, if that was just going to happen for last season. And maybe after an entire offseason, we come back and we look at everything that the Celtics do. And maybe the defense takes a little step back. Maybe the offense takes a little bit of a step back. And, you know, everybody else kind of steps up. Because, again, I thought that the Heat were going to be really good. I thought the Bucks were going to be really good. I thought that the Sixers were going to have a good regular season as well. So I thought Boston was going to still be, you know, fighting for home court advantage, but not one seed. So I'll take the L on that one. Okay. But, yeah, I thought mid for Boston.
Yeah. I understand why you would think that, given the turmoil. It wouldn't have been surprising if things fell apart for them. I just had a little faith in them based on just coming out of the finals, but it wasn't the worst prediction for y'all to make. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that I have to call you out on, Isaac, and this is something that not only you, but I think it was probably me and you, and I think Donovan felt opposite. Something that we were terribly wrong about are the Minnesota Timberwolves. They were a good defensive team last year, and then all of a sudden they fall to fucking hell, and now they're just like in one of the nastiest situations in the NBA currently.
I'm glad you said this.
This is similar to the Heat for me. When that trade was made, I made a video on my channel where I was like, why the fuck did they do this? This is a horrible fit. This is not going to be a good team. As the offseason went on, I was manipulated. I allowed myself to be convinced by everybody else. Yeah, I let the NBA media gaslight me into believing this would be a decent trade, that it would work and it would solve Cat's issues. So I was like, man, everybody's so sure. Maybe they're seeing something I'm not. I was like, I convinced myself it could be solid in the regular season and then bad in the playoffs. I never really believed it, but I gave them the 4 seed. I was like,
yeah.
Listen, Rudy Gobert teams win games. I lied, and I was wrong because I played myself.
That's funny. Rudy Gobert led teams. Rudy Gobert, he's overrated.
Okay, let's not rewrite history. Let's not rewrite history. Not working there because he's playing a different scheme that doesn't work for him. He hasn't fit with the team. The chemistry's terrible. he was still fantastic with the Jazz.
Even when Cat was out and they went back to like, you know, regular Rudy Gobert style.
They're not running the same thing. They're asking him to come out of his comfort zone a little bit. They're not just running drop coverage and not. He's having to come up on this higher level of the screen, which you could say maybe he's showing a lack of versatility, which sure, but there's a playbook to make Rudy Gobert defense
been,
work.
Which has been one of his downfalls for a majority of his career.
Yeah, and that's why he's not Hakeem. He's just Rudy Gobert. He's not one of the best defensive players ever. He's just a really good defender that was great for his era. He has his flaws. And
Time. Don't do this. For years, you have defended Rudy Gobert.
Let me finish. I'm still defending him. Let me finish. I'm still going.
No, because you did something very, very slight. And I know you. And this is why I'm going to say it. You just said he's not Hakeem. He's not one of the best defensive players ever. When for years you have been calling Rudy Gobert one of the best defensive players of all time. Yes, you have.
You think I said he was a top five defender ever? No. Let me tell you what I said. I said, let me finish. He's not. If he was a versatile defender, he would be Giannis. He'd be Anthony Davis. He'd be in his top five with Hakeem. I never once said he was a top five defender ever. You are lost your mind. I said he's like maybe like the 18th, 20th. He's among the best defenders ever, which he still is. Absolutely. But he's closer to who we're putting in this category. It's a slight to Ben Wallace. Whoever you think is in this 15 to 20 range, which is still, of all the players ever, damn high, right? Like, I'm still saying Rudy Gobert is among the best defenders ever. Back,
and I'm very frustrated right
no,
now.
No, I'm not. I never said... You're confusing it. I've said Draymond is a top five defender. I'll stand by that. I never said Rudy Gobert was. I said Rudy Gobert is top 20.
We agree on that. We don't have to talk about Dre.
Yeah. You're confusing my takes. I said Rudy Gobert is the 20th defender of all time, which maybe I sound stupid saying that now. Maybe that's wrong. But that's what the range always had him in.
Even if you want to say that Rudy Gobert is like 15 to 20 all time defenders, right?
Yeah, prime Gobert. I still think that's true.
You're talking about this guy who's one defensive player of the year. And when I say overrated, I'm saying you talk about Draymond and Draymond only having one to two like defensive player of the years, and Rudy Gobert being this multi defensive player of the year, and he does this, and Rudy Gobert led teams, they win games. Yet you get him in the playoffs, his lack of versatility.
What does that guy do with defensive player of the year award? The whole what does that guy do with anything? There was the best defense in the league, and he was angry at it. Do you want to not give it to him?
He's two steps up on offense outside of Ben Simmons. He's 7'2". He's the one.
What does that guy do with defensive player of the year? What does that guy do with anything?
I'm going to overall, but you made the joke earlier about the Kwame Brown. Rudy Gobert, he's a center who doesn't have a post move recorded in memory.
Oh, for sure. He don't have anything
on offense. He's overrated on defense. Minnesota thought they were getting something generational when they were never getting that in the first place. And I don't want to hear anything about, Rudy Gobert was supposed to come in and do all this. Everybody knew out. The Timberwolves were in the same situation, in my bad, Mo, as the Hawks, and they thought that they were getting something different. They thought that they were doing something revolutionary.
Sure. They gave up way too much. It was ridiculous.
They thought that they were getting something revolutionary, and they weren't, because they got this overrated big who's not versatile, and they messed up their entire scheme and their entire building.
I agree 100%.
And that's why they're trash. That's
even the best version of Gobert is not worth five first-round picks. 100%.
Rudy Gobert, like, he's all that. Rudy's overrated.
It's so easy to say this now in the moment, though.
I've been saying this for years. he got ran off the court by Terrence Mann. Terrence Mann ran him off the court.
That's such a stupid argument. I'm not getting back into this. He's not getting ran off the court by Terrence Mann.
Terrence Mann dropped 39. Okay.
The game plan was to leave Terrence Mann open and make him beating with shooting. The coach said, don't guard Terrence Mann. That's not a Rudy Gobert problem.
Because they can't do anything else because Rudy's on the floor. Because he's there.
Neither here nor there. Either way.
To divert the attention back to the Minnesota Timberwoles whatsoever. Defensive player of the year, in general, Rudy's not the only issue.
Should he not get defensive player of the year because he lost in the playoffs? It's not a playoff award.
The defensive player of the year.
Is it a playoff award?
You were literally able to scheme the defensive player of the year out on defense.
No, they didn't. That's such a simpleton way of understanding basketball. That's not true.
You were able to scheme him out.
You misunderstand why the Clippers won that series. It's that simple.
Wow. Stop.
You do not understand Isaac, defense.
Stop.
Donovan, no, Isaac's calling you an inebitode, man.
No, okay.
He's calling you a nincompoop, basically.
He can call me every word that he wants to. Rudy Gobert and his limitations and the fact that you were able to take one of the five best defensive players in the game and literally say, like, we can take whoever and just 2K this and play five out and get you off the floor and make you a non-impact on defense. I think that makes you overrated.
You can do that to any big. And if you're gonna make him not stand at the rim, of course you can't block shots.
You can't do that to just any big.
You're telling me if they simply decide that Joel Embiid can't stand by the rim, that he's still gonna be an impactful defender?
Yes.
Well, that's just not true. That's just not how this works.
Joel Embiid can defend on the perimeter much better than Rudy Gobert can.
The problem against the Clippers was not that Rudy Gobert can't defend. Rudy Gobert is a solid perimeter defender. He's not a good high pick and roll defender playing high on screens. But he's not, people talk about him like he's fucking Hassan Whiteside. That wasn't the issue. The issue with the Clippers why they lost is because in that game they said our plan is to not let them stretch us out. We're going to let Rudy stay in the paint and make Terrence Mann beat us. Terrence Mann just made a bunch of threes. That has nothing to do with Rudy Gobert. Their coaching decision was to not guard him, and he made his open shots.
Next week, let's all go home after this week, and let's watch the highlights of Rudy Gobert doing freaking spin-arounds on the floor.
And that's your problem, he doesn't watch the highlights. The highlights are irrelevant.
Because he doesn't, he doesn't know where anybody is, and he's just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You could play freaking clown music over Rudy Gobert in that series, and that's what it was.
Listen, you're making me get into a Rudy Gobert defensive bag when this whole segment was about me saying he sucks this year and that I was wrong about them. The original
all I said was that he was overrated, and I think that he's been overrated for years now, and those issues have spilled over to Minnesota, and it's a major reason as to why they suck. Cat has also been hurt. Anthony Edwards has also not taken the leap. D'Angelo Russell is very
been fire as of late.
He's very D'Angelo Russell is very mid, and you have all of those things put together. But I would like to focus on the person that they traded basically six first round picks for, right? And that's the major story when you're talking about why Minnesota has been the way that they are. Because he was the major change.
I don't disagree at all. They gave it way too much. He was a bad fit. I don't disagree. The only thing I was saying was that we don't have to rewrite history as if he wasn't an extremely viable player on the Jazz days when they were built around him and he was doing great things in the regular season. We just don't got to pretend that didn't happen, which is easy to do when these narratives flip about players. That's all I'm saying. I agree. He's ass now. His body language has been shit. They have shit fit. He has not been trying hard enough. He's been bad.
Man. Isaac, if you think you've been fighting for your life now, wait until 15, 20 years later and revisionist history really starts to kick in. You're going to hate Twitter. Your life is going to be hell. And you're actually going to be a Rudy Gobert fan.
I'm not going to argue about Rudy Gobert in 15 years. I will argue to death about Draymond Green in 15 years. They're going to call me a stupid old man for saying he was a great defender and great player. Or he averaged 6 points per game in the finals. He was irrelevant. And I'm going to be so mad.
That's the way it should be. But
real greatness lasts. Rudy Gobert's greatness will go away.
Touch on Minnesota Timberwolves, like you guys were saying, they're just all around. A lot of disappointment going on with this organization, and it starts with Rudy Gobert, and then it trickles down to what the fuck is going on with D'Angelo Russell. Karl-Anthony Towns is hurt. Anthony Edwards struggled early on in the season, and there's just a lot of random-ass question marks about, is this a good fit? This man stated in a random-ass interview, I never really played with a center who doesn't know how to shoot. And that just puts the Minnesota Timberwolves in an awkward-ass fucking angle, you know? And, again, I want to touch on D'Angelo Russell because what the fuck, man? I thought you were going to be fully loaded this year. He's, 28 years old. When is that shit happening, bro?
It's never happening. It's embarrassing. He's done. You're 28 years old. I know who you are.
In the next two weeks, I feel like I think the trade deadline's 9 or 10 days away. So yeah. Really soon, I feel like D'Angelo Russell's gonna get traded because this is his last year with the Minnesota Timberwolves. That'd be interesting. Yeah. That's the only way you can free yourself up in the hell that they're in right now, future wise.
They're cooked, man. They're absolutely cooked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few more teams we could talk about, but we're already at an hour. We should probably move to TikTok.
Toronto. That's all I want.
Yeah, Toronto sucks. Let's just quickly talk about them real fast. Toronto's been massively disappointing. The Clippers are massively disappointing because I think, like me, nobody expected Kawhi Leonard to be out this long and still be unhealthy. So that's been weird. Obviously, Ben Simmons.
Now, though. So
we've talked enough about Ben Simmons. We don't got to bully him anymore. Yeah. He's been bad. The Blazers, I'll say I was right about. People got really high about them in the beginning of the season when they're the 3 seed. They were always going to be mid.
Yeah.
I think we all agree on that.
For sure. Absolutely. Hit it on the money, bro. Hit it on the money.
Yeah.
But they're back in reality now.
When Zion, when Zion's healthy, New Orleans is very, very good.
I was wrong about New Orleans. I said they'd be like the 6 or 7 seed. I was like, right, they'd be, I was like, they'd be like the 7 seed. I was like, there's just, these pieces don't fit super well. There's not enough playmaking.
Yeah.
Wrong as shit. Zion's just him.
Yeah.
CJ McCollum's been a solid pseudo point guard. They just have a lot of talent. It's just talent won for them.
Yeah, exactly. Almost a little bit too much talent, but they're going to adjust that during the offseason. Can we go ahead and do TikTok time, man?
Let's start TikTok time.
My little brother just texted me, when the fuck are the TikToks happening, bro? He's getting crayons as we speak. Listen to this combo.
That's funny.
Let's go.
Okay, so this first one, go ahead and pull up your NBA team logos because you're going to need it. Because you're going to need to think. We're going to do a draft like always. You guys know this is what we do. We start off TikTok time with drafts. This time it's going to be different, though. We're not going to be trying to draft the best teams possible. I'll say that. We're going to draft the worst teams possible with current NBA players.
With current NBA players. Okay.
Yep. The goal is to create the worst team you can. The middest team possible. Just draft absolute shit.
Okay. Oh, I got
it. Let's draft the worst lineup. I can't even say this. Let's draft the worst lineups possible with current NBA players. I got first pick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, I wanted to save my first pick for a different draft. We were planning on doing before this. Now I got to waste my first pick. Who is the worst player in the NBA? First pick, give me Kendrick Nunn as my starting point guard.
Ooh, Kendrick Nunn?
As a Lakers fan, nice. Kendrick Nunn is worse than Satan. I'm so glad he's off my team.
A little too far.
I'm definitely winning this. With my first pick, give me Thanasis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, shit. I should have picked
Star him. Star of my team. Star of my team.
You know.
That's hilarious. Nice.
Let's go.
To go back to your pick, Donovan, real quick. You know Kendrick Nunn's ass when immediately the Washington Wizards go ahead and trade for him, and the only highs that they can pull up of him is from fucking preseason. And they pull up just a couple highs of him dunking. Bro, it's preseason. Are you kidding me? All right. So you got the Thanasis.
Yes.
I like that. So in terms of the worst player in the fucking league, damn. I got to be in the trenches for real to know this one, bro.
This is so funny.
This is hilarious, Jeff.
Worst player, shit. Who's someone who's like, who gets memed out like quite often?
Hey, man, this is your pick. You better do your research.
Yeah, these are my picks, and I ain't do no goddamn research because that's just not my thing. All right, let me go ahead. Someone who's been just really getting on my nerves. Give me Johnny Davis, bro.
He was gonna pick him next.
This fucking pass season, bro. And he fucking averages more turnovers than assists. This bro, fucking in the G League, bro. He's disgusting.
He's just terrible. Wizards roster.
Boo boo, man. Johnny Davis.
Amazing.
Johnny Davis is garbage.
Yeah, he was ass, bro. I thought he was gonna be what Benedict Mathurin is right now. But he's terrible. He's feces, man. Fuck. It irritates me. I thought he was gonna be the next Devin Booker. Wearing number one, had the similar release. You like mid-range shot. What the fuck is going on, man?
You were out of your mind if you thought that.
Yeah, man.
That's good.
Trenches.
Donovan, your turn.
Go again. Oh. Wait, you already
picked. Oh, it's my turn again, right?
Yeah, you got.
Oh, give me PJ Tucker too. He ass. Give me PJ Tucker. He's trash.
PJ Tucker's been bad.
Give me him. He has the fire shoe collection, and that could add to our, you know, overall team swag, team drip. But outside of that, he ain't doing shit but cardio. So give me PJ Tucker.
I bet. Okay, I'm taking another sixer. Give me Daniel House.
He hasn't done shit.
Daniel House is not good.
Bro, his career ended the day he got kicked out of the bubble. He hasn't done anything since.
That's nice. I like that.
All right, Isaac, it's on you.
For my two guard, give me James Bouknight. He's been so disappointing.
Oh.
James Bouknight hasn't done shit.
Hey, at least your team is protected, man, and never hungry, too. Got a Glock and Dorito with him at all times. Holy shit. That's so
funny. James Bouknight hasn't done a thing.
Yeah, he's been fucking terrible, bro.
Oh, it's my pick again?
Yeah.
That's funny. Who do I want next to these guys? You know what? For my power forward, give me Juancho Hernan Gomez.
Bo?
He's just a funny guy. Give me Bo.
Damn, screwed.
Okay. All right, let's see. So I got the Nassis at my three. I have Daniel House at my two. After Nassis at my three, Daniel House is two. Give me Frank Ntilikina at my one.
He's running. Ooh, running, that's the definition running of feces, the show. Man. Ooh.
Running the show.
Yeah, this might be the first draft that you're good at, man. Tell you to do something bad and you'll win. That's crazy.
Okay, okay, I see y'all. I see how it is. All
right, so for my center, ooh, man. Give me Dwayne Dedman. He is terrible. I know who I should have picked, man. Dwayne Dedman is terrible. Yeah, give me Dwayne Dedman. I should have picked someone else. God damn it. But yeah, give me Dwayne Dedman. He's fucking ass, bro. Shouldn't be playing anymore.
Okay. Your turn, Donovan.
All right. I'm laying down.
Wait, Mo, did you pick twice, Mo?
Wait, did you?
No, I picked once just now.
Oh, okay, okay.
Oh, pick twice.
Pick twice?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So I got Dwayne Dedman at my five. Then I have PJ Tucker at the four. Then I have Johnny Davis Flynn at my two.
Johnny Davis, yeah.
So I need a three, and I also need a one. So who have been, like, some of the fucking just worst point guards to watch in the NBA so far this season? Oh, man. There's not a lot of bad point guards in the NBA. I think that's, like, the best position in the NBA because they're just so well-rounded.
Kendrick Nunn, I mean.
That is
who's going to pick Russell Westbrook? Who's going to be brave?
No, I can't do that. He's going to – I can't do that. If I'm trying to lose – you know what? Go ahead. He's not as bad, but give me Cameron Payne. He's ugly as fuck. I need him on my team.
Cameron Payne's been solid.
He's solid, but he's ugly, dude. I need him on my team. I just think of that Ice Age meme, bro. Him getting the haircut in the Ice Age meme.
Poor Cameron Payne.
I just don't expect anything out of him, man. Give him Cameron Payne.
Yeah, Isaac, you're right. No NBA player is going to want to come on this show. We're just calling people trash and ugly every week. It's awful.
Yeah, you tried to save it. It's not happening. We're not player friendly.
But in that same vein, it's not my pick, and I'm ready to lose. So give me Kevin Knox.
Kevin Knox is horrible. I forgot he was in the league.
Yo, he just won this draft for real. Donovan, you're in your bag.
I'm in my bag. I'm in my bag.
Counterpoint. Give me DeAndre Jordan as my center.
Oh.
He should have been out the league years ago.
That's great.
Yeah, that's nice.
And for my last position, that's nice. Give me, for my small forward, Admiral Schofield.
Okay.
What team is he on?
He's on the Magic. Tell me one good thing about Admiral.
Okay. Listen, we're going back to the Washington Wizards on this one.
Damn.
For my
I feel
five,
so sorry for Wizards fans, bro. Taj they feel Gibson. Targeted.
I just won.
Your team's crazy.
The Nassis, Kevin Knox, Taj Gibson. There's not a nastier front court ever.
No. We're done, Isaac. We're lost. We never had a chance.
I got it. This is hilarious.
We never had a chance.
Oh, my God. All right, Mo, who's your last pick?
This is a classic. Yo, I have to be deep in my bag when it comes to looking for my last pick. And there's not much that I can fucking do. All right. I need a three. So, I really can't do anything. I really can't do anything to win this draft or try to succumb to this, bro. All right.
Oh, yeah. For my last pick, winning. I won this.
Yeah, you definitely won this. You definitely won this. For my last pick, I need a three. And so go ahead and give me. Is his name Jalen McDaniels? Jaden McDaniels' brother.
He's a solid.
So give me Jalen McDaniels.
They're both solid.
Give me Jalen McDaniels. They're both solid.
Yeah, your team is way too good.
Really?
You lost.
Yes, your team's actually like.
Your team's calm.
Damn, your team is the Houston Rockets.
I guess I'm not good at being ass. Oh, man, that's a fatal flaw.
That's hilarious. Okay, that's gonna be a classic draft.
Yeah, for sure.
Next thing we're gonna do, I'm gonna send you guys some team names. You guys are going to have to guess the player based on the teams they played for.
Okay.
So let me pull up this group chat. I'll have it on the screen, guys, if I remember. If I don't remember, scream at me in the comments because I never remember. So, guess these NBA players based on the teams they played for. Here's number one.
All right.
Who is this man?
Detroit, LA, Washington, and Denver. This is
that's KCP.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess that was too easy. I got that super fast. That's KCP.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shout out KCP, man.
Fucking great player. He's one of my favorite role players, bro.
All right, you don't gotta love him that much.
I do, man. He's from Georgia, so I got to.
Next one.
Philadelphia, Denver, Golden State, Miami, and now he's on.
Oh, that's Andre Iguodala.
Yeah, that's one of the easier ones.
Give me Iguodala.
Y'all getting these quick.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get you a little harder one.
Let's do it.
Hopefully, this is Donovan's in his bag. Who is this man?
Toronto.
That's Terrence.
He's a big
Bro, Donovan is in his bag.
Dude, he's automatic. You can't. Yeah. You can't like play with these games, man. I was about to say he must be a big African dude, bro. I was about to say some wild shit.
said Please don't. Please don't.
Man.
Who is this man?
LA, Milwaukee. This is Serge Ibaka.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
nice. Serge Ibaka. Pick me up. There you go.
Yeah, Serge Ibaka.
Y'all say some other stuff. This is a TikTok. Y'all just saying the names.
Wait. Is this Serge? Serge was in Orlando, too, so you got that wrong. Damn, I'm in my bag right now.
Oof, forever Orlando. I didn't even see him. Oh, yeah. Shit.
Yeah, see, that's why I got it wrong. That's why I didn't, that's why I didn't get it. It wasn't accurate.
What about this guy? Ooh, the first one's supposed to say L-A-L. It's the Lakers.
Oh.
Lakers, Pelicans, and now he's a Knick.
Hmm. You should know this one. This one is not hard.
I should. Lakers, Pelicans, Knicks. Started there. Oh, that's Julius Randle.
Well, got it first.
I don't know why that was.
Mo beat you there by half a second.
That's the lag. I really got it first. I really said it before. My internet's just slow.
Who was this guy?
All right. Memphis, Houston.
Oh, that's Toronto. Kyle Lowry.
Damn.
That is Kyle Lowry.
Did you even read what was on the screen, or are you just throwing shit on the wall? You're good at throwing shit on the wall.
Listen, I know. This every, I know.
Donovan just murdered this game. I don't even think I'm going to post this. It was too easy.
Yeah, this we can't play these tough guessing games. I guess we're too elite.
Yeah, I got to pull out some deep cuts.
Yeah.
All right. Next thing we got. Let's get a little more in our analysis bag. Let's get serious.
Okay. Damn.
I'm going to name two NBA teams. You let me know which one you think is most likely to make the finals. All right. That's a little too long of a hook. Which NBA team do you think is more likely to make the finals? First up, 76ers or Nets?
Give me the 76ers. They've been on a tear, and they have found some consistency this NBA season. And with the Nets, they're just unpredictable. Yeah. This time, health is fucking them over. Earlier in the season, Kyrie Irving was fucking them over.
When KD is healthy, they were looking good.
True. Yeah. True. But they also don't. I think I'm taking the Sixers on this one. I think we're getting
a Harden hater.
I think we're getting the Embiid playoff run this year. I think we're finally going to get it. I think if he can stay healthy, we're getting
health's the big thing.
We're getting like 37-12 every night.
Man, it just comes down to James Harden, right? Like, is he going to melt down? Basically. Maybe because you have Embiid, it's okay if he melts down. You know, you guys a little more of a buffer with him,
and you have Maxey. I guess
Maxey off the bench is a huge difference.
That's what I'm saying. I guess if you don't need Harden to take shots. If you don't need Harden to take shots and he doesn't take the shots, then you're okay. So I think I might take Philly on this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can say they're not as reliant on him anymore. I see that.
Yeah.
All right. The Grizzlies or the Cavs?
I think I'm going to take the Grizzlies on this one. I think I'm going to take the Grizzlies. I think the West is a little bit more wide open.
Yeah. They have an easier path.
Than the East is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't have a real juggernaut to go through like the Cavs do with the Celtics. Like, sure, the Nuggets are great, but, like, they're probably more beatable.
Yeah, and the Memphis Grizzlies are one of the very few rosters in the NBA that have, like, no kinks, and they match up very well against every single team in their conference.
Yeah.
And there's not a player that I worry about drastically other than, like, Dylan Brooks and his fucking 4-for-19.
He might lose his fucking mind, decide it's Dylan Brooks time halfway through a playoff game.
Yeah. But then D Brooks, they solid. I definitely.
Listen, I'm going to go Cavs. I'm taking Donovan Mitchell in the playoff series over a lot of players and give him the arguably the best defensive front court in the league. I think this team has really high potential against most matchups.
Listen, I don't know. Listen, you have Ja Morant with Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yeah, I mean,
the defensive player of the year.
The two seed for the reason.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, I'll take the Grizzlies.
But yeah, it's just people forget about playoff Donovan Mitchell. This man turns up every time. True. Besides last year.
Vibes was off last year.
Vibes were off. Blame Gobert.
Always.
Okay. Mavs or Pelicans?
I'll take the Pelicans.
Yeah, give me the Pelicans.
Luka was just in the Western Conference Finals, though.
Yeah, they literally just came from the Western Conference Finals, but they had Jalen Brunson on their team.
True. Fraudulent. Unserious. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm taking the Pelicans.
I see a world where the Pelicans might be a little bit easier to scheme against in the playoff series. It's a really smart defense. But most teams, it would be kind of hard because they have so many creators. So I guess because Luka has no help, you got to go Pelicans.
Yeah, exactly. His no help is outlandish compared to what it was last season.
Brunson makes a difference.
Yeah, Brunson was a huge difference. So I'm definitely taking the Pelicans. There's just so many options in that on that roster. Definitely Pelicans.
Thanks.
Okay. Cool, Celtics or Nuggets?
Ooh.
Listen, Jokic has help now. Last time we saw him have help, he was in the conference finals.
I'm taking the Nuggets because, and I'm still sticking to it. I think the Bucks are winning the title this year. And so I think Boston would have to go through Milwaukee. I think that's going to be extremely tough. Denver, like we said earlier, number one offense in the league. Everybody, their defense is starting to like click. They have moments. Jamal Murray is back. Jokic is Jokic. Wide open West. I think that the Nuggets have a better chance.
Yeah, the best argument is because the conference is weaker. But like the Celtics are insane, man. They're so good.
Yeah, I almost want to say the Celtics, but the Nuggets just feel so. There's no answer for them in my mind. There's no answer for Jokic. This is the season of Jokic. Finally, he has some help. So I got the Nuggets.
Okay, I'm rocking with y'all. I'll say Nuggets too, just because the conference is wide open. But I think the Celtics are the better team.
Okay, fair.
Can't hate on that.
Next one, the Oklahoma City Thunder or the Atlanta Hawks?
We just beat the Hawks. I mean, we just beat the OKC Thunder. So I'm taking the Hawks. We beat them.
Didn't ask.
DeJounte Murray swatted the shit out of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Did y'all not see that?
Shit out of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I'll say the Atlanta Hawks just because they have a little bit of playoff. Actually, no. They're not going to make the playoffs. Give me the Thunder.
What the heck? What type of switch up was that?
Give me the Thunder. Give me Shai.
You just let your intrusive thoughts.
You thought I was going to support them over Donovan. Today on this podcast? Never. Never.
Oh, man. You just let your intrusive thoughts take over on that one. Hawks are better. Sorry. Have more pieces.
I let common sense win.
We trust J-Dub over here.
I love me some J-Dub, but let's be fucking for real.
Okay, so last one. Warriors or Lakers?
All right, come on.
Warriors. Yeah.
Come on now.
I mean,
come on now.
I feel like I said that a little bit too quick.
No, but you said Lakers, You said it too slow. Nah. The Warriors easily have a better chance to make the finals.
Let me change this. The Warriors are better now. When I wrote this, they were faltering. They were still ass. Let's change this. The Lakers or the Timberwolves?
Lakers. Oh, the Lakers. Ain't nobody trust the Timberwolves.
The Lakers are 500, man.
Yeah, who gives a fuck?
It's the Timberwolves.
capping. I'm so capping.
You did not move me with that at all. It's the Lakers. It could be 10 games. I'm still taking LeBron and AD over Rudy Gobert and Jaden.
You think Cat coming back is going to sway me? Fucking Cat?
Yeah, nah.
Nobody's scared of that, man.
Yeah, they don't move me at all.
Don't get me wrong. The Lakers suck. But it's the Timberwolves.
Yeah, Minnesota's trash.
Yeah, it's abysmal over there, bro. It's a nuclear warfare over there.
Shout out Anthony Edwards, but he's not a superhero.
Yeah. Ant-Man.
All right, what's next?
Next thing we're going to do, let's redraft the 2016 NBA draft.
Let me pull up this draft.
Yeah, let's type this in. 2016 NBA draft.
Y'all know I have bad memory when it comes to these drafts.
But apparently you have good memory when it comes to every fucking team every player's played for.
Once they've been in the league for 7 years,
it's ingrained in his mind.
2016.
Once they've been around the block.
2016. That was 7 years ago, low key.
Oh, wow. Wow,
a lot of people's crazy. Best year of their life.
Oh, we're getting old.
It's crazy.
Isaac, okay. When do you turn 24?
March.
Damn!
That was so unnecessary.
So you are.
Yeah. Oh my god, that was funny. Okay, y'all ready for this?
Alright, for my sixth yep. man, give me Drew Eubanks on my team. Okay.
The draft with Drew Eubanks is crazy.
I'm gonna keep going.
Let's redraft the 2016 NBA draft. First pick. So first pick, are you going Jaylen Brown or Pascal Siakam?
I'm going Pascal. See, we've had last time he picked Jaylen Brown.
Did I?
It's tough. When, they're yeah. nice. It's, they're close.
It is tough. It's so interchangeable.
It is. When did I pick Jaylen over Pascal?
I think you picked him when it comes to who would you rather build your team around or some shit like that.
We all rank Pascal higher than Jaylen Brown in the league right now.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. So I think I would take Pascal.
It's tough.
If it's in a draft. Actually, no. If we're talking about a draft, like redrafting, I think Jaylen. Well,
I mean, which player would you rather have, right? Because it's just like, yeah, you're basically just ranking players.
This is tough. Give me Pascal.
It feels wrong to not pick Jaylen, but I'm not going to be a coward about it. Give me Pascal.
I just feel like Pascal is so much more certain. So give me Pascal.
Okay. It's tough, though.
Yeah.
So obviously Jaylen's number two. Mm-hmm. Don't even got to talk about it. It kind of feels wrong he's not number one, but so be it. Yeah. Number three, do we go Brandon Ingram or Domantas Sabonis?
Give me Ingram over Sabonis. Give me Ingram over Sabonis.
I'll take give me Sabonis.
In theory, Ingram's better than Sabonis. But Sabonis is going to be an all-star again.
I have not
You let injured Ingram like derail just how good he was the last time he was healthy?
He wasn't that good last year. He wasn't better than Sabonis this year.
He did it for a stretch. I haven't seen him do it for an entire season.
I think y'all are tripping, man.
I don't know. It's tough. I'll go Ingram.
I think it's a lot easier to build around a player like Ingram rather than a center who doesn't.
Yeah, that's why.
Playing elite defense.
Exactly.
And also like isn't like a top five offensive player. So
yeah, I'll go benefit of the doubt and give it to Ingram. Best case scenario, he fits into a winning team easier. Sabonis is close.
He's right number two, though. I don't even want to look at the rest of the draft. He's number two. Easy.
So Sabonis is number four.
Obviously. He's after that. Yeah, four.
Okay, so we'll put Sabonis at four. Donovan's mad. He's not at three.
I am.
Okay, so Sabonis is four. Next up, Jamal Murray is an option. Jakob Poeltl is an option. Jamal Murray,
DeJounte Murray.
Oh, DeJounte Murray. So next up, we pick Jamal Murray or DeJounte Murray?
Jamal.
Over DeJounte?
Yes. Yes.
Why is that easy for you?
Yes. I think DeJounte Murray is big stats, bad team. For a majority of his career, I understand his defense has been really good. They both have like an injury. Before Jamal got hurt, Jamal was playing at an exceptional level.
Yeah, and, they're saying that man was better than Trae Young.
And we've seen Jamal Murray turn up in a playoff series and go bucket for bucket with Donovan Mitchell. Like we've seen Jamal Murray play at a very very high level when it matters the most. I like Jamal Murray.
I can't
more
be
than
mad
DeJounte.
At that. We can do Jamal.
Okay, I got outvoted. Jamal it is. So then at six, we're going to go DeJounte Murray.
Yes.
For sure.
Okay. Seven, Buddy Hield, Jakob Poeltl. Is Zubac in this draft? Yeah, there's Zubac.
Oh, yeah, he is. Oh, there's Malcolm Brogdon, too.
Brogdon. I think at seven, we should
go. He was the rookie of the year, too. That's crazy.
I think we should go Jakob Poeltl at seven. He slowed down this year because the team is ass, but he was really good last year.
I'd rather have Malcolm on my team.
You'd rather have Malcolm than Jakob Poeltl? Jakob Poeltl's a really good defender.
There's Jakob Poeltl, Buddy Hield, Malcolm Brogdon.
Jakob Poeltl's the best player there. He's had a slow year because the team is ass, but last year when he had a competent point guard, he was legitimately really good.
I'd rather have Malcolm Brogdon. I'd rather have a good guard than a good center.
He's so much better than Malcolm Brogdon.
I'd rather have Buddy Hield than Malcolm Brogdon.
I'd rather have Jakob Poeltl than both of them.
Buddy Hield is one of the greatest three-point shooters in NBA history, which sounds crazy to say every time, but it's just facts.
Donovan, where are we going?
Yeah, it sounds like we have to lean towards a guard we'll because
take,
you're out.
We'll take Jakob here.
Jakob at 7.
Kind of crazy to me.
It's not crazy at all. You're tripping. Defense matters. So at 8. Oh, it bro, is. We forgot Ben Simmons.
No, we didn't. We didn't.
Did we?
Are y'all taking Jakob over Ben Simmons?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't forget Ben Simmons. He can actually you be forgot about Ben Simmons.
Okay. So next up is Ben Simmons at 8.
Nah, give me Buddy Hield.
No, yeah. Buddy Hield for Ben Simmons.
Buddy Hield.
Yes.
Yeah, for ooh. Sure. He's averaging 6 points a game. The fuck?
He'll be better eventually. Okay, so Buddy Hield at 8, 9. Are we going Ben Simmons or are we going Brogdon. Malcolm Brogdon?
Brogdon.
Come on. Yeah. No, come on. Bro, we got Ben Simmons.
Brogdon was the rookie of the year.
Ben Simmons be getting double singles.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons is going to be better. Eventually, I hope. Right, so I hope.
Give me Denzel Valentine, man.
Yeah, I was about to say, give me Denzel Valentine, Marquise Chris. Give me fucking Henry Ellison.
Give me Caris LeVert.
DeAndre Bembry, bro.
Oh, my God. Okay, so if Brogdon's 9, can Ben Simmons at least be 10?
Sure.
All right, Ben Simmons
actually,
number 10.
Actually, no, give me Zubac.
Oh, my God.
What about Malik Beasley and Caris LeVert? Like,
who's number 10?
All right, let me relax.
Ben Simmons is 10.
Yeah, he can be 10.
I'm trying to go through this
draft. Okay.
10.
Nah, give me Zubac. Dude, I need Georges Niang before Ben Simmons.
Oh my gosh,
that's funny.
These are some names on this list. Do y'all remember Scal Labissiere?
Yeah, Scal was supposed to be fucking him, bro.
Scal's hilarious.
They thought that man was AD.
Wow,
Scal Labissiere. Okay, wow. So next up, let's do one last thing. Let's do these haircuts you were talking about. Well,
cool.
Send these pictures.
So how you want to?
These are going to be terrible.
So to say, which NBA haircut do you think is better?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah.
God damn. Used to.
All right. You ready?
Yep.
I guess.
So which NBA haircut is better? Let me read you that one more time. All right. Which NBA haircut is better?
Say, do y'all think is better?
Which NBA haircut do y'all think is better?
Yeah, if you want to ask people so they get that subconscious thing where they want to answer and comment.
Yeah, they want to join too.
Yep, gotcha. Yep. Hit us with it. Which ones are we talking?
All right, so first we got Kevin Durant, the Taco Meat Classic, oof, versus Jimmy Butler's extensions.
Bro.
Which one are you talking? And he shaved his beard too, which makes this picture
even
more
crazy. Yeah, he looks crazy with no beard.
Yeah, bro.
Oh, my gosh.
Give me Jimmy Butler's locks. Listen, they look crazy because he just got them out of nowhere. He's rocking them better than Kevin Durant's rocking whatever the fuck that is.
Y'all know how I feel about man extensions. I don't know if this is a respectable feat, but
give me the man weave.
Golly, that's terrible. I guess I'll say give me the man weave.
I'm sorry, but I can't do Whoopi Goldberg, bro. I can't do it. Sorry. I can't do the Whoopi. Give me the taco meat because I can wear a hat confidently. And yeah, you know, I'm screwed. If I'm screwed, I'm screwed. So what?
All right, that's crazy. Fair.
This one's tough. All right, what's next?
I can't do the
Whoopi. But Jimmy's such a troll for this. It's hilarious. He did this for one day. The one day they took pictures.
All right. Next up, we got Chris Middleton versus Carlos Boozer.
Oh my God.
Damn.
Chris Middleton what makes needs to give it up. No, cut that shit off. What makes this
so much worse is that Chris Middleton has the worst head shape in the NBA.
Bro, look at Donovan can't breathe.
Like, this shit is extended, bro. He has an extendo to him.
This is so nasty.
Looks like a moose, bro. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
On the other end.
It's crazy because you know Chris Middleton asked for the spray, and he legit asked for that to spray in the middle of his head. That's crazy.
Bro, he looks like a mighty bean.
Oh my god.
It's tough. And on the other hand,
are we gonna pick Carlos Boozer's spray paint hair?
He looks like a bowling ball, bro. Polished.
He looks like an anvil.
Yeah.
It looks like I can forge a blade on his head.
Yeah. He looks terrible.
This man Carlos Boozer is deep in Dominican Republic culture.
Nah, bro, give me Carlos Boozer. Chris Middleton needs to give it up.
I guess I'll say Carlos Boozer. Wow.
Oh, man.
Just because it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Chris is cursed. Give me Carlos.
Bro has a Sharpie sure. head.
All right. So would you rather have LeBron or Dennis Schroeder?
LeBron's just balding, man. LeBron's just a man of age. It sucks, but so be it. Dennis Schroeder, this is a crime against humanity. Whoever cut this man's hair needs to be locked up, 25 to life, Guantanamo Bay, no. waterboarded, all of it.
Yo, whoever took this picture on Getty and posted this, you did Dennis Schroeder so dirty. He looks like
arrest this photographer.
Like he's about to come wild. In and steal all my fucking Christmas presents, bro. This is terrifying. He looks terrible.
He said he's a gremlin.
Yeah, like we've seen Dennis Schroeder, this picture Dennis Schroeder from all different types of angles, but this one right here, face on? Oh my god. Nah, yeah, give me LeBron.
This is for real like Dennis the Menace type stuff. This is nasty.
Yeah, this is literally Dennis the Menace.
This is nasty. Yeah, I'll take LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron easily, bro.
Ew.
Man, that's hilarious. You know what else that is? It's the end of the show.
Ooh.
That's a great transition. That was good.
If you're still here, comment arrest his barber. I want to see arrest his barber in the comment section.
Yeah. So nice.
Yeah, we're out of here.
I ain't gonna lie. This is a good podcast. See y'all boys.
See ya.